Hi, I'm Steve, the S in STD Realty, where we infect every deal with our second best level of enthusiasm.
I'm TK, the T in STD Realty. Remember, when you choose us, you're not just choosing a real estate company, you're choosing an experience that is persistent and will follow up with you for the rest of your life.
Carol here. I put the D in STD. We're absolutely going viral right now because of our second-rate services and our second-best marketing plans.
At STD Realty, we've got a burning passion for real estate, and we won't stop until our names are on everyone's lips.
Think about it, folks. There are millions number one ranked real estate teams out there.
And we're proud to be your second best option in town.
Real estate moves fast. We will be the rash decision you won't regret.
Misplace your paperwork? No problem. We're used to dealing with sticky situations.
And don't worry. We cut our standards like we cut our commissions.
So if you want a team that will stick with you long after the deal is done,
and you believe in spreading the word,
then come on down to STD Realty.
Please, we could really use the sale really soon.
Remember, when it comes to real estate,
at STD Realty, we're not the best.
But we're not the worst either.
We're number two.
Who writes this shit? I have to talk to my agent. It must be time for the Canadian Real Estate Show.
We go. TK the skits are back and we are in full effect. We have.
They're happy. The people are happy.
People better be happy after that. What's going on?
Where's the skits?
Where's the skits?
We don't really care about all the stuff. You guys don't know anything about the economy or real estate or anything like that. Just
couple
entertain
of
us, monkeys.
Monkey entertainers.
Like, all right. Well, as long as you subscribe, we'll do it.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I'm double subscribed. Do it yourself. Didn't get to fix the show.
Please subscribe. And
well, you know,
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Just watch us and we'll do anything.
We're fine.
Right?
We flew to Vancouver just to talk to Steve today.
Our surprise guest.
We're
Steve,
committed.
Surprise mystery Steve, which I guess was blown by the skit. Now, TK, you blew the surprise guest.
There's no surprises in this show. Come on.
Jesus, no surprises here. That's for sure. It's basically regurgitation, isn't it? Because
basically, yeah.
We just take
all the good content that we see in like traditional media, you know, like Fox and CNN and CBC, and then we just say what they don't say.
That's right. We say what they don't say.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, you know, TK is a really busy realtor and he's got some serious boots on the ground and he's part of one of, if not the, you know, highest sales volume team in the nation.
You can't
say
number one.
Well,
that's
what
we just did. You
right?
can't please say number one because everybody's number one.
Who the hell's number one for real?
If you're not number one and you're out there telling people you're not number one, like smarten up, figure out where you're number one and post that.
And post it. Find a place to be number one.
Find a place to be number one.
We are
the brokerage with like three agents.
That's right. We're the number one show at noon on Sundays for Canadian real estate, where people are okay not learning anything in the hour.
And that's our story, and we're sticking to it. So don't even bother coming to us with anything else.
But
what have you been up to, Jared? I was away this week.
Yeah, it's a crazy week.
I did what I had to do. And I mean, you know, what's going on out there? What are you seeing?
What's going on?
Well, let's talk about this. Hopefully you don't have to cut this out of the show.
Okay.
But buying properties right now. buying land deals.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, actually. Okay. It's like there's no good deals out there at all, but there's starting to be deals. Yes, people are not only shopping.
We have competitors right now out there shopping around, and we are fighting tooth and nail to be able to get our hands on some properties.
Ooh-wee.
Well, see, for me, that's kind of old news because there's really never been a deal that I've worked on that somebody else hadn't already tried to put together. I mean, if you're trying to put good land together in good locations, chances are somebody's already been there, done that, and screwed it up real bad.
Sure, but some of the new stuff that we've been working on.
Oh yeah, we're no geniuses. New,
and
yeah.
that's not some of the old land type of deals where they've been, you know.
No, it's everybody's
ready to
looking
be developed for, you know, 20 years. No, this is like the last month or two. This has come on the radar.
People have figured out what I figured out a few months ago, right? Yeah. And people
are
going after.
That's why we got the deal of the century in Forest Hill, because we were just like one step ahead. But I wish we knew how far ahead we were. We could have had like 10 more deals at that time.
Well, I mean, because of that thing that we should not talk about, TK, that I told you last night, and that super exciting news. I mean, that could lead to some pretty significant other deals that kind of fall into that same category.
Wink, nudge, nudge. I get it.
Well, it's a nice little trick we may have found, right? Yeah. And if we did it, it could lead to some more really, really great deals in really, really great areas.
Absolutely.
But enough said about how wonderful you and I are, because, I mean, we know this already. What about
the description of our YouTube channel speaks for itself.
That's right. That's right.
We told everybody how wonderful we are.
That's right. So is the market really ramping up? Because I posted something on X, formerly known as Twitter, and I said, like, bidding wars are back, I think. And people were calling me a fraudster and a pumper and like, you're committing fraud. And like, people were getting mad, right?
Know your audience.
Well, I don't know. Like, when I first started on X, formerly known as Twitter, I was a huge bear, apparently. And then all of a sudden, I was like this, you know, tin hat wearing bear, right? I became a bear all of a sudden, and now it's just a mess what's going on in here.
Why do you need to be a bear or a bull? Like, I don't get it. Like,
you have to be a Christian or a Jew. You have,
you know what
I
mean? You can be
bearish
and then you can be bullish. Like, there's no, like, you know, camp that I need to be on. You know, there's times where I'm like, listen, the market right now has got a lot of stuff going on in it and you got to be careful. And then there's other times where I'm like, you know what, like, get in before things go too far here. Like, right? This is the way it goes.
What's happening?
What I was going to say was, what we're doing on this show is we're actually trying to reach out to more guests from coast to coast, because we keep having on like a lot of Toronto people. We hear you guys, you know, it's on and on Toronto, blah, blah, blah.
It happens to be
the greatest city in the world, but whatever. Like, we're done talking about that.
Toughest real estate market.
But we're going to bring people from coast to coast, so we're going to actually hear. So is it just, you know, my perspective? Is it just Daryl's? Is it just Toronto's? No, we're going to hear what other agents have to say about what's going on in their real estate markets. Because at the end of the day, you know, like, there's certain trends that are on the macro that are going to be consistent in cities across. We always used to say Canada, but obviously during the pandemic, it actually was across the world that you could see some of these same patterns. And so we're going to look at those patterns to try to figure out, all right, is this just in Toronto? Is it just a bunch of drunk Canadian real estate mongols all trying to buy up every piece of real estate they can get their hands on? Or is this just like, you know, a real demand in the world for housing, for real estate, because not just because of liquidity, because we know that liquidity is dried up. We know that interest rates have gone up and that people's debt servicing costs have gone up much higher. But is there actually a demand for housing because we have more people to put in those houses?
Well, I think what we have going on here, TK, is, you know, all these immigrants are just jerks.
Hey, is it just me or is it getting crazy here? Huh?
And they just don't know how to behave here. And it's all their fault. I mean, I used to think it was the Airbnbs owners' faults because they're dicks and they were abusing the system, right? And I used to think that it was the investors that were the real problem, right? And we're not going back too far. I mean, like 5 months ago, I was blaming the investors, those fucking investors, for everything. And then we shifted our focus to those Airbnb bastards. They had to come down because they were fucking everything up. And now, of course, it's these horrible immigrants that came here with not promises, foreigners. Right?
New Canadians. We did blame the foreigners, the people who didn't really want to be here. But now it's like, oh, you want to be here and you want to live somewhere?
Yeah.
And you want to have a roof over your house?
Food?
A roof over your head?
Right? What the hell's going on around here? Now, all of a sudden, it's like, it's their fault. They shouldn't have come here. They shouldn't have fallen for the scams.
Why did they have to be in that war-torn country full of poverty? Like, couldn't they just accept their conditions and not try to come over here and ruin ours?
And you'd think that they'd be used to it, right? Like, from how they came here, like, why are you bitching? It's the same here as it is there. Like, now there's kind of free health care. Now you can, like, you know, shovel the driveway.
Why don't you want to move to Saskatchewan? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to move to Saskatchewan. I mean, who the hell wants to move to Saskatchewan? But why don't you want to move to Saskatchewan? It's a great place to live, like, 3 months of the year.
What do you mean you're not happy with that school you signed up for $40,000 that's beside the Tim Hortons in the mall? Like, what's wrong with that? That's normal.
100% of people who graduate from there get a job, you know? It's like, so what? It's a big store at the Tim Hortons. It's a job.
Is there a system here? And it, again, like you're saying, with real estate, with anything, with every system across the globe, it seems like there is a breakdown of epic proportions. Like, nothing is working properly anymore except one thing, TK. The subscribe button, man. The subscribe button is always working.
It's working. I tested it the other day from one of my fake accounts.
300 people have learned how to press our subscribe button, TK, and you could join them if you think you can handle it.
Favor right now and test
that button.
Subscribe.
Yeah, because I heard it wasn't working, because we should have way more subs.
There's words on the street is that subscribe button is not working for everybody. So just give it a little test, press that subscribe button and let us know in the comments if it worked or not.
Yeah. And please check out the Clips channel as well, while you're, you know, hunting around for more TK.
If you're listening,
that's the place
right
to get
now. If you're listening right now and you're like, how the heck did I find these guys? They're two idiots rambling on. This has nothing to do with real estate, and it definitely has nothing to do with the thumbnail that I clicked on.
Yeah.
We have a channel called Canadian Real Estate Show Clips.
Clips.
Get all the best parts of the next hour on that channel, so you don't have to listen to all this. So don't complain in the comments and tell us that we didn't warn you and that this was some sort of bait and switch trap here. Like, you clicked on the thumbnail thinking you were going to get some real information and you found out that all we're doing is rambling on. We are telling you right now, go to the Clips channel, you know, seriously.
Just do it. Just do it. All right. Well, enough about that, TK. So again, it seems like things are ramping up, which is pretty odd because CPI is going up too, right?
Core inflation, CPI.
I don't know if it's core or if it's medium core or if it's fake core or
in the States, core inflation went down, you know, when they announced the CPI had gone up. And so you got to look at all the different things that are, you know, leading to this and, you know, where gas prices and food prices have gone. And we know that they're starting to trend down. At the end of the day, you know, inflation was at like 8% a year ago. What are we complaining about? Whether it's 3.1 or 3.4, nobody cares about that. That's not, you know, consequential.
Steve Karish from Karish Real Properties and the best Canadian real estate podcast on earth. Does he think that this isn't a problem? Are you able to afford your groceries, Steve?
What's the problem?
But the difference between 3.1 and 3.4 is not something negligible. That anybody should be. It's negligible.
Negligible.
Nothing.
It's nothing. Nothing burger, says Steve. How you doing, Steve? Welcome.
Welcome,
guys. How are you?
Thanks for playing with us in the skit. Yeah, it's always fun when we get somebody else to, you know, embarrass themselves. That's
nice. Is that going to get me canceled? How's that going to work? Did it turn out okay?
It turned out wonderfully hilarious, and you will be proud, and you may even win an Emmy.
All right.
Yeah,
sounds
you might
good.
Even win an Emmy. Are you under the weather, sir? Or are you just putting on your sexy voice?
Last night selling
is
houses.
Is this the sexy voice? Or are you...
Yeah. Yeah. It's the new setting on
early.
My Shure mic.
It's
no,
early.
I don't know. I woke up with a little...
little sniffle?
With a little deeper... I got my Barry White going on here.
Oh, so. Yeah. Good. You're doing good. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
My thank chocolate you. Salty balls. All right. There we go.
So are you guys talking inflation?
At the moment, no,
we're
on
not
inflation.
Really talking about much, but tell us about inflation, Steve. What's
yeah,
going
what's
on?
Going
Why are people
on with inflation?
Now all of a sudden, you know, thinking different things?
You know what? I don't know. This was the inflation report where I was like, I don't even want to read this. Like, are we going to go
desensitized? Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally desensitized.
Desensitized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Jumps up a little bit, goes down a little bit. They'll revise both of those numbers 2 months from now.
Right.
It'll be a different story then anyway. So,
yeah. Remember when we told you things were rosy? Well, they weren't so rosy, were they?
Whoops.
Like, does it even mean anything anymore? It's like
when you can just go back and revise the numbers to make sure you weren't in a recession last quarter.
I love it. I love it. Listen, you know, last quarter, definitely bad quarter, bad quarter. But the one before that we said was bad, it was actually not so bad.
Better than we thought.
Don't worry.
Even though every time you look at a pack of chicken in the grocery store, you want to vomit and you want to kill your local politician. It's fine. It's totally fine. I can't even believe the price of chicken. Like, this is just stupid now. You know what makes me crazy? Do you go to a restaurant and actually order chicken?
Sometimes.
Why not?
Do
you?
So.
What do you
like,
mean?
Why do you order stuff you can just make at home for like not even a third of the
what
price?
If
it's
like,
an eighth
of
a price.
Chicken that you're just not used to getting, you know? Like, they got that, you know, that chicken that's like, whew.
$40 chicken in the restaurant. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Chicken parm there, yeah.
Right, good
yeah,
chicken parm.
Know.
Fine. Chicken
know.
Parm. That
okay.
You can have. All right. I don't know how we got onto that.
All right.
But we're talking about inflation,
we talking about.
Right? I guess. So how much is a parm? I went to a restaurant the other day. Like, the steak I had was $45. And it was supposed to be 4 ounces. And there's no way it was 4 ounces. It was the tiniest little thing I'd ever seen in my life. It was a joke. It was like 2 bites. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, I just came back from West Palm, Florida, and the steakhouse that we went to, which was apparently the best steakhouse. And I was thinking, like, hey, you know, I don't know what you would think a steak would cost, but definitely maybe the same as it does in a nice steakhouse here. But of course, it's US dollars. And it was like, there was like 120, 130, 140 US. And I was just like, whoa. But then when they brought out the cuts, I'm like, these are like seriously like big dry aged pieces of meat. So
they didn't have shrinkflation. They didn't bring you out a smaller
piece.
These
were like
meat.
American sizes.
American size.
American
size. Meat.
Like, we don't have steak that big.
It's so different there.
But it was
like,
pricey. It was
I don't
pricey.
Even know how people think that Canada and the States are anything close to each other. Like, the only thing that's close is the border. Like, everything else is totally different. Right? We don't even speak the same languages anymore.
Totally different. So I used to spend a lot of time. One of my best friends is a real estate agent in the States. And so I would do the 2 hour drive to Seattle all the time when we were hanging out. And I can fly to Toronto, and we are much more like the people in Toronto than I am the people an hour, 15 minutes across the border where I am. Yeah. It is like going into a completely different world.
Are you that close to a border?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're 2 hours away from the border too, Joe. I pretty
the
much
city. No. The city of Surrey borders on the US, right? So,
but pretty
and then
much
Seattle's 2 hours. South.
Everybody in Canada lives within.
That's true.
100 miles of the U.S. border.
Except for Sean from
Except for
that
Sean
came on last week. He's like
he's avoiding the border. The further you get away from the border, the better things are, apparently.
Yes. The more weed isn't drugs, apparently.
Daryl got some issues. He had some problems on X because he said that bidding wars are back.
Yeah.
And people told him that he's a
fraudster.
And a fraudster.
Pumper.
And that he's an embarrassment.
Well, he's got
country.
That project going on now. So now he's got to pump the market.
I've got to pump
he's
the market.
Create some hype. So
it's
tell
true.
Us, Steve, we're actually going coast to coast over the next month, trying to find people to give us information about what's happening in their cities. You're our BC guy. What is going
guy.
On? And you sell a lot of real estate. So this is not just like some guy on YouTube who is like, you know, making videos because he heard stuff. This is like, what is going on in your business selling all those homes? What are you seeing? Like, buyers, sellers, Give us the lowdown.
Well, it could just be our business, but we are, our team is set to experience our busiest January of all time for new listings and number of sales firmed up.
Whoa, slow down there.
They were in a recession, didn't you hear? We got problems out there. People are struggling.
Yeah. So we're starting to see, we're not really seeing offer dates yet, but we probably should.
Are not seeing offer dates yet.
What does that mean? Just for the layman's, like what does that mean? Right? When you say
You're starting to see properties pop really quickly. Like if you're waiting for the weekend now to see those properties that just came on a Wednesday, you're missing the good ones.
And so what about pricing?
We are seeing lots of, I wouldn't say you're definitely not seeing craziness, but you are seeing an extremely busy market. We're at currently for the month of January, 50% more sales than last January, which was super.
On your team?
No, on the board.
On the board? Okay.
We're going to do at least 5X last January, January for our team.
Nice.
Last January was good. I don't even remember. What was January? It was good.
Last January was the worst January I've ever had on my team.
Oh, okay. So 5Xing that, is that like back to normal? Is that better than
normal? No, it's double average.
Double average
for us. For us,
holy.
Yeah, it is.
So what is this attributed to, Steve? Why is this happening?
I think we're seeing a lot of people that are finally viewing some opportunity. I think a lot of people have got used to the temperature of the market.
So does that mean that pricing has dropped and kind of steadied now? And
since the
like...
summer, so everybody remembers 22 in spring into summer, our market in detached dropped 30%. Then it went back up. Whoa. Now it's actually come back down again. So when you do that constantly, eventually people go, oh, look at that. That might be doable now. And so we're starting to see, I think TD has a 5.095-year fixed rate.
Right.
So if you're crunching those numbers, I did the numbers on my channel for like a move up buy. So you're going from a townhouse to a detached house. It's something like $1,500 per month cheaper to move now than it was in September.
For sure, because you're like a point and a half at least lower, right?
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah,
numbers.
So if you can, and here where we are, most detached homes, at least 60%, probably have some sort of basement apartment in them.
The new strategy.
If you were looking at, let's say, $4,500 to $6,800 a month, somewhere in there, and now that's come down $1,500, and you're getting $1,700 a month out of the basement, it's not that bad. Your cost of living is going to be $3,000 a month or something like that, and that's the same thing that our two-bedroom apartment buyers are paying for, none of the benefit of somebody else paying off their mortgage.
I think what you said there, that's the most important, is that the people are understanding how the market's working. So when there's
getting
uncertainty,
used to it.
So then when there's uncertainty, people are like, oh, prices just dropped 30%.
Yeah.
What if that happens again? And so that makes everybody really scared. But when they see that the market fluctuates, there's sort of a floor, the interest rates like likely aren't going to like skyrocket from here. There's a little bit more stability. Then people know what to expect. They can do a 5-year fix right now at, you know, great rates compared to 6 months ago. And they can lock that in and say, okay, for the next 5 years, this is what my payment's going to be. It brings them comfort. It gives them consistency. And so then they want to move forward with their purchase. Where a year ago, we just didn't have that. You know, we're all guessing and speculating and we're making videos about this and that. But really, I mean, we had just experienced a huge drop over the, you know, previous, you know, 6 to 12 months. So we really didn't know exactly how everything was going to happen. We didn't know what the Bank of Canada was going to be doing. But their announcements have been very consistent. Inflation's been steadily coming down, ticking up, ticking down, ticking up, ticking down. Like everyone really kind of sees a path out of this. Does it take another year? Does it take another 3 years? Nobody knows. But it just gives us that sense of peace of mind saying, hey, you know what? I need a place to live. Because who's buying right now, Steve? Is this like a bunch of investors who are all speculating in the market?
Most of my business right now is townhouse sale to detached purchase. So the
townhouse sale. So upgrade.
Principal residence.
Yeah.
Moving
on up. So it's a good time to move on up.
How dare they want to be moving into a bigger house for them and their family? well, the nerve of them to do that in a market like this.
Don't they know how bad of a time it is?
They should tell their kids for doing that, and that they should just stay in their townhouse forever and rot. You know, like, this is like the attitude some people have, right? It's like, what do you mean? Like, they want to move to a bigger house. They're not allowed to do that.
I don't tell many of my clients to rot, but
some.
Do you know what I mean? That's what people will say, though, right? People will say, no, you just shouldn't move. Like the uncle at the dinner table, he'll just like, no, stay here.
Pay it off. Pay it down.
10 years from now, you can move into that detached house when your kids are already grown up and they don't ever, they don't really need the backyard anymore.
I went through it. I had family. So I had family that wanted to move, and let's call them an elder statesman in our family telling them, don't do this. This is crazy. House prices are going to crash.
Don't listen to Steve. Don't listen to Steve.
And that was like summer 2020. Right. And thankfully they moved.
Mm-hmm.
And they got into something they probably couldn't afford today. So,
yeah.
Right. Well, summer, I think there must be time to move. Yeah. Well, for sure. If you could, if you weren't afraid, if you weren't like stuck in fear, right?
Yeah. I did some of my better move up buys as well then too, that were really complicated, where people were really stuck and, but they needed to move, and like that the conditions and all the things that we had to use to be able to make it happen. And yeah, they wouldn't have been able to do it again at any other time.
There has to be a decent amount of people out there that bought, you know, before all the pandemonium happened, even after the drop, had really good equity built in their homes. And, you know, now that things feel kind of stable, they've reacclimated to the situation, to the pricing, and to, they probably had to adjust their expectations a little bit down in order to kind of make things make sense, right? Because nobody's out there saying try and time the market, right? Like, everybody gets used to it though.
That's kind of what I mean. Think about it, right? It's like, no matter when there's a change in the market that happens very quickly, it's like jumping into a hot tub, right? Mm-hmm. When you jump into a hot tub the first time, it's cooking and you think about jumping out.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get used to it, and then you're like, man, this hot tub isn't really that hot, is it?
And the next time you go in, you're like, I'll get through those first awkward moments and be able to withstand it.
So you can just, you acclimatize to what the market's doing. And that's where I think a lot of people have done. And then a lot of people have, now I think those 6.39 rates we saw in September, that caused a lot of problem for a lot of people. And if we stayed there for a long time, we would be in trouble. But historically, you're not going to see, I actually found a chart a while back that showed the historic interest rates from like 1900 on. So it's actually more than, you know, the real estate boards that have been tracking for about 40 years. And the average mortgage rate was 4.5%.
Yeah, but you have to track that against the wages, because that's the fuck up right now. It's not the interest rate. I mean, 5% interest rate is a fine interest rate.
Wages would be more in line with price, though. Price would be something to contrast. Interest rate and wages shouldn't be as important to inspire.
But that's what I'm saying. The fact that the interest rates are an average right now is out of context if you don't include the spread between prices and wages, right? Because it doesn't matter that they're 5%, 6%, 3%. What matters is that gap between the wage and the pricing, right?
That makes sense. I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's not in the entire picture, but that's the difference. For sure, 4.5%, 5%, even 6% is like doable depending on, you know, where it came from. The real problem also is the shock of how quickly we got to this new interest rate, this new reality, right? And same thing on the way down. It was like they just dropped them to the floor and everybody was like, what do we do? I mean, everything's free right now, right? Like we got to go buy stuff. Everybody had to go buy stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like, not even hard brakes, like everybody flew through the windshield when they put on the brakes, right? Because they just reversed, they put it in reverse. They didn't put on the brakes, right? And so now all of a sudden we're like 800 basis points. What did we raise in like under a year? Like that people are going to die when you hit the brakes that hard, right? And that's what we saw, is we saw all the quick deaths. Then we kind of saw the people that were left, you know, kind of really hurting. And now everybody's kind of used to the grimness and the new rates, right? Because it's not the same. Even if you were looking at a $1.5 million house before and you were looking at a 1% to 2% mortgage, it is a different planet when that same price point now, right, is at 5, 6%. Like, mm-hmm. You can't do it. And the real fuck up was the people that kind of got caught there in the renewal or the quick mortgage or like all the variable bullshit.
We're starting to see a few of those. So Steve, are you seeing the like peak price sales being resold now for much lower? Like you're seeing a few of those examples?
Like, no.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Someone who,
Know what you mean. So the people that bought, you know, did anybody that crazy buy in prices, Feb 2022 for a crazy price.
Yeah.
So I have a guy that bought, I want to say November 21. So it was right in that frenzy.
Horrible timing.
So he sold a house, he bought a new property, and he has just life events happen. And he is now looking at selling that property and moving to a different style of property again. Mm-hmm. The style of property that he wanted to buy in his last move has dropped $300,000. Mm-hmm. And the style of property that he did buy that he is now looking to sell has gone up at least $100,000.
What? Okay, so give us the property types here so we can make sense of this craziness. Well,
so just to, I'm just going to summarize it here, okay? Because this is also really important, is that there's going to be examples of people who sell for a loss, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that is what the market is doing. So just because someone bought for $2.2 million and then had to sell it for $1.9 million, and you're like, oh, $300,000 less, it's gone down $300,000. It doesn't mean that all the houses in that area. One could be what Steve did there was like an overall market analysis of type of home where, yeah, that home type is more in demand, scarce, whatever. Right. And so the market dynamics are different. But sometimes people just grossly overpaid in 2022 and that they paid way more of a premium than every other person. And most of the time it happens like this. You're out there, you're making offers, you know, and your agent's like, there's 30 offers, sold 400,000 over asking. You went in 200,000 over asking. We lost this one. We're going to get the next one. The next one comes in. There's 35 offers. It sells for $350,000 over asking. You were 180,000. Oh, don't worry. We're going to get the next one. Then you go to some other house. It's already priced a little bit on the higher side. It's not the same aggressive because
TK,
of the lack of
get
inventory.
Get me that house. Get me this house, TK.
And you say, well, the last guy sold for 400,000 over asking. I'll go 500,000 over asking. So they bring an offer for 500,000 over asking. Second place, because there's no open bidding, was 350. So they overpaid way more than the second place guy. And so now they own this home that, you know, obviously is way beyond. They got a variable rate. They can't make those payments anymore. They're forced to sell. And prices really didn't go down, let's say 500,000. They only went down 350. But because they overpaid 150, they'll take a $500,000 loss on that one plus expenses. And it's a perceived like, oh, the market went down so much. But a lot of those situations that I'm seeing, I'm like, nobody else was willing to pay that high of a price, even in February 2022.
Don't forget, somebody appraised that fucking deal.
Are you a real estate agent and you're looking to make a change? Anywhere in Ontario, guess what? We're hiring. Franklin Associates, number one team in the GTA for all RE/MAX teams, number one team for all teams from all companies for number of units sold throughout Toronto. So if you're looking to make a change, best decision I ever made was to join Franklin Associates. Go to jointeamleo.com and we can set up a call.
Right.
This particular property that I'm thinking of, when I track the style of home in the area that they bought, the trend line is still going up. I've actually got two listings in that area right now, and they're basically, well, they're selling for more than the last ones did in the summer, which the rest of the market, our market has come down. But the place they're looking to move to on the trend line since the peak is down at least $300,000 all the way around, like in that whole section. So they wanted to buy that type of property originally, but it just wasn't feasible because they were selling for like 1.7 million and they could only afford 1.3 to 1.4. Now those properties they wanted are selling for 1.3 to 1.4, and the property they bought is selling for 1.4 or more.
That's rare, though. But that's very rare.
But is it just as rare as the blood stories that you hear in the newspaper of the guy that lost 800 grand? One guy loses 800 grand in some stupid move somewhere, and all of a sudden we all think that the whole market's going to crap, and everyone else is in that situation. If you have a mortgage, you're also going to lose 800 grand.
It's not that everybody thinks that it's going to crap. It's like it depends. It's an input, right? It's like everybody sees those big ones. It's an input, right? And so depending on the rest of the inputs you're putting in the rest of the week.
It's clickbait garbage that people put out there because people buy love it. Negativity.
People read it and believe it.
Steve, I don't know if you're in any Facebook real estate groups.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not picking on real estate agents here, okay? Any industry, it's the same thing. People just love to share negativity and to talk about nonsense. And it is absolutely horrible. And anybody, like, that's why I'm not on X. The negativity stuff, it just eats away at your life. Believe me. Anytime I'm there, I just leave the group. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. See you later. Yeah. As soon as I get to that.
I can't even go on Twitter anymore.
Didn't I tell you, Daryl, to get on that stupid platform?
Yeah, probably. But I'm still on there.
It feeds into that part of you. We all have that inside of us.
I'm a fighter, though, right? Like, yeah. I'm a fighter. So I go in there, if I'm in a bad mood, and somebody's getting it.
It's a lose-lose. I lose.
I'm guilty of that, too.
That's why I don't read the second comment. When we get comments on YouTube, I respond to every comment. Yeah. The second reply, the next thread, is where the negativity lies.
Yeah,
I know it's there, so I don't even look at it. I don't even pay attention. I just reply. If you reply a second time, I didn't even see it because I have no interest in it.
Steve likes a fight for sure.
Daryl and I are a little mental. It's often just me and Daryl going back and forth with each other sometimes.
Telling you, avoid that, man. Avoid it. First thread only.
He's smart, though. He's not on Twitter.
I got two stories here today. One has to do with my background.
The other one has to do with the beautiful city of Surrey.
Oh, yeah. Looking towards Vancouver. See, you guys are actually like right back there.
Far away.
Yeah, in one of those towers back there.
We just assumed you were like in Vancouver.
Hey!
So I got that story, or I got my foreclosure story.
Let's hear them both.
Both, yeah. That's what you're here for.
Part A. Let's go foreclosure first.
Foreclosure. Okay, so I had a big bank foreclosure.
What does this mean? You had one?
I listed it and sold it.
Oh, you listed and sold it. The bank gave you the listing.
One of the big fives came to you for a power sale listing. And
how'd they find you, Steve?
A lot of people don't realize this.
Agent in Surrey.
Exactly. They said, who's got the best YouTube channel in Surrey? And that guy was busy, so they picked me. How you get those listings is actually the company as a whole will have a mortgage department, and they'll actually hand them out to their mortgage specialists, and then those mortgage specialists will use them to build relationships. So it just came through a relationship I have with that bank. This particular one started more than a year ago. Not the foreclosure started. I started involved in the process more than a year ago.
Oh, God.
So who do you think got foreclosed on?
Who do I think got foreclosed on?
It was a realtor.
Was it Steve Soretsky? You
got foreclosed on.
Was it you?
So
that's the name of this video. Soretsky goes into default.
I'm confused about the question here, Steve.
Steve got foreclosed on.
In your mind, in this market, who is the person that gets foreclosed upon?
Okay. So a 2022 peak priced property buyer on a variable interest rate.
So this guy has owned the property, I want to say, since it was new. So I want to say it was 2010 or 2012. It was a condo.
Condo buyers.
One owner the whole time. I happened to have got into, I didn't get into the property before when the owner was there because he had to be removed. It was a mental illness situation. Like full hoarder. I'm talking peanut butter jars and newspapers taller than you can stand.
Might need him again.
It was bad.
Yeah.
This guy has not paid his mortgage since pre-pandemic.
Hmm.
So this is the type of foreclosure you get. It's not that 2022 peak buyer.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's some guy that's got mental illness, that's got problems. Anyway, so it takes like 3 years to get the court order.
Well, hold on a sec. Somebody sent me an article and it said some bankruptcy specialists say they're getting more calls from pre-con buyers.
Yes.
I thought that's where you were going, but you're going the mental issue route.
Well, that's
just the guy had problems, right?
Yeah, sure.
And those problems were not market related.
Right. Yeah.
So that's like your like any type of economic condition type of power sale.
I wonder how many people there are that just have like a mental breakdown one day and go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not paying this fucking mortgage anymore. These motherfuckers, it's enough. Go fuck yourselves. Let's go.
Good day.
You said you kept saying the word foreclosure.
Yeah.
Do you guys do foreclosures in BC?
That's what it is. Power of sale, foreclosure, same thing. What's the difference?
I don't know. We only call them power of sales here. We never call them.
Just languaging. So it's a court-ordered sale is our technical term.
Okay.
So the through a long period, the bank eventually gets power to sell the property.
Yeah.
Then I got involved. This is more than a year ago. We try and gain access to the property. That took almost another year. No, that took another year to gain access to the property.
To get the
so next time the bank calls you for this shit, you're like
to actually like physically get in.
This was shit last time. I want 8%.
Oh well, that's the other thing. They don't pay that well either.
Right? What a fucking deal!
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy who's only doing bank power sale listings. That's
you do not. You do not. So anyway, another year later, finally the owner is removed. So he's now out of the picture. The place is so rough that the flooring needs to be removed. Like it's just bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go through the whole process. Now, this is, Daryl, you'll love it. I go in, I do my assessment. The appraiser comes in, does his assessment.
Mm.
The appraiser says to me while we're in the listing,
what do you want me to put on here?
Well, I was actually afraid he was going to do exactly what he did. And so I actually said, you know, hey, you know, I literally had the recent sale two doors down. So I said, we just sold that one for this. This one needs, it's not as nice a unit in the first place, but it also needs flooring and blah, blah, blah. Look at the bathroom was just disaster.
Disgusting. Mm.
So I go, okay, you know, so it probably needs to be about 30 grand less than that one. And he goes, well, why is everything else listed at, you know, 70 grand more? And I'm like, listed or sold?
Stupid fucker.
So he ended up doing his evaluation off of active listings.
Listings.
And then this guy must have been 700 years old. He says, this is nothing 10 grand can't fix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the apartment going, well, you haven't.
In 1943.
Freaking
renovated the whole bloody place.
Right.
So the listing comes back. Shocker. It's about, I want to say it was $45,000 more than my recommended price. We actually receive an offer right away. And the offer is higher than what I had recommended, but nowhere near the price that was on the appraisal. Now, here's something
new. Was this last week? Like, was this the new market in January? Like,
this was, no, I've had this listing since like September.
Okay. When did it sell?
So, it just sold actually this week. That's why I have.
So now the new market conditions.
Yeah. So, court was this week. Let's keep going.
Okay.
So I get it on the market. It's way overpriced. They will not accept. What I didn't realize apparently now is the banks, it must be the banks, they're putting on like a limit of what the lawyers can accept under their asking price.
They're supposed to like do their best to get market so that they do take care of the borrower, like legally, whether they really do or not.
That they did everything they can. And
they
so
at least pretend.
But that metric, though, I never heard of either before, is percentage under.
I've never seen it before, so it's something
price.
New. Yeah. So he says to me, like, I can only accept this price at this list price. I can only accept this price.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'm like, well, you're never going to get that. So we keep going. Price. So we end up over a long period of time. Hmm. We end up now listed below the original offer I had him.
At. Oh, fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Because shocker, we ended up the accepted offer that went to court was within $2,000 of my original recommended price.
Well, so, but here's the thing is like, nobody trusts anybody. And then you got an old guy who doesn't know you. He's going to like not listen to you, especially if he's 80 something, like you're saying, like, he's going to look at you like a kid and say like, don't fucking tell me how to do my job. This is what I think. And this is what the whole market is based on, all this craziness. Like, and people don't know whether it's a realtor or an appraiser or a buyer, like people just don't know who's like actually telling them the truth. Right. So like you could be totally bang on and awesome and like great reviews and everybody raving about you. And like the same thing with the next guy, right? Has a billion followers on TikTok, has a huge Instagram account. He's on the news all the time, but he sucks shit as a realtor. Right. And how does anybody know like which guy to listen to? Because you can put on a good show and it's a show, and you can put on a good show and it's real, and nobody can tell the difference until it's already too late.
The person who gets the business is the one who does the best presentation.
Did the best
show.
Not
the person, not the person who knows the most or has the right price or any, the guy
who just the right buttons, right?
And so the number one call that I've made so far in 2024 is to people, the number one call by far, the landslide. Is it the people who didn't list with me in 2023 and are now expired because they had listed with the other agent who told them some crazy number? And I'm just like calling all these people back now at the beginning of the year, just like, hey, how's it going? What are your plans? How are you? Da, da, da. And the amount of money that they've lost because the market went down 6% sometimes is $100,000-$200,000.
What are you fishing for, TK? You're waiting for like, oh, we should have listened to you, TK. We should
No. And some of them are talking like,
do you hear that though?
Let's talk. Other people are saying like, oh, my agent was great. He knew what he was doing. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, you know, well, he lost you $200,000, but yeah.
That's, nice guy though.
So, like, so but, nice like, but this is a court sale. So there's more because when you get your accepted offer and it's firm, subject to court approval, it's not yet sold.
Yeah. Until it closes.
And until you go to court.
Okay.
So here's how it goes. So that was September. We finally got it on after a year of trying to get this thing on the market. We finally get it on in September. We get the accepted offer at the price that I recommended, basically, like December, whatever, 15th, something like that. Unconditional offer. Buyer rescission period doesn't apply because it's a court-ordered sale. It's one of the exceptions. And then we file for court. When you file for court, obviously, Christmas, all that stuff gets pushed away. So court was just this week.
This is the best system I've ever heard.
If you want to know the new system is terrible. This is a new system?
It's online. It's virtual.
Yeah. For BC court, it's actually back in person, except they don't want you to bring your offers to court anymore. They have to be done
electronically.
They have to be to the lawyer 2 days before court. It makes it really good for the lawyers and the judges. It makes it terrible for just the process. Anyway, I have a video on my channel if you want to watch it. Anyway, we go to court. Now, the new system, I don't actually get the competing offers anymore. They go straight to the lawyer. So I don't know what's happening at court. I don't know what to expect at court. So the property goes to court. They end up with four offers because you continue marketing subject to court approval.
Jesus.
So we go in, the original offer.
Making offers knowing that this is happening, that there's like already offers in and it's all hung up in court.
Yeah. So as soon as the first offer is going to court, that price is released because it's part of court public
open record. Bidding.
Kind of. It's second round bidding. The second round is still closed. So anyway, we go to court. There ends up being four offers. The first offer does not revise. So they're out. They're basically gone. Now you have three offers. They end up selling within $5,000 of the original list price from September, of which the guy appraised the property at, which was way out of line. If I had that property listed just like a regular owner in September, that property would have sold for what I priced it at.
Right.
But because they waited so long, the market went up, and which people don't realize, when you go to court, you don't get a deal. You get within market value a couple percent, and then you have to take on all the responsibility of the liability and the repairs that go in. So it ends up selling and overshooting by a mile. If I had that property listed today, and a seller could just sign off, it would not have sold for that much money.
Not have sold. Look at this, TK. It's another.
The secret is to, you know, become a hoarder, lose your property, and then let the bank take over, and you'll get more money for it.
And you'll get more money for it.
Now, in Ontario, the owner, the seller, the person who lost the property still has the right to reclaim the property up until closing.
Yes.
So we want to get a short closing. We want to make sure that it's like done as a buyer agent. We want to like get it done quick, get it in and out, because the seller could be like, oh, I got the money. I got the financing. I'll buy it.
Looky here. I just so happened to have
that
this
scenario. Doesn't sound like that guy was hiding.
I don't know what's going to happen, because there's probably, I would assume from his original mortgage and the taxes owed, I think guy has probably property taxes in half a decade or whatever. But if there's money left over, there probably is. I don't know how they're going to get it to this guy, but he does get the extra. But then, like you say, it closes really quick. So the buyer that in my estimation, paid a very good premium for this property, the reason they did so, they are currently homeless. And this property can close in 10 days.
What a story.
What the currently homeless, hell just
living
happened
down
there?
In the east end of Vancouver in a tent. And he said, you know what? I need a place to live.
I'm sure they're probably
that place.
Is there a fentanyl chapter to the story? Does fentanyl come into play here at all?
I'm sure they're not living in a tent, but they I don't know if they were in a hotel. I don't know if they were in an Airbnb or what.
Homeless, though, sounds
dramatic.
Homeless.
And they needed a property as quickly as possible. So now they found one with a whole bunch of renovations to be done.
Well,
perfect. There you go. That's what I should put on my letter when I make those offers. Currently homeless. You know, people they're not selling it enough. They're talking about their dog and their cat and how they want to, you know, move into the neighborhood and walk their kids.
Picture of
the
family in
front
of
the tent.
You got
to be like, send a picture of the tent and be like, guys, this is where I'm living right now. I'm living in the park down the street. I need a place to go.
Yeah. And then your agent will say something like, well, you know, can you bring it up like another $5,000 though?
I'm living in a tent. Because
you're not
going to
get it, right?
Got?
You're not going to get this if you don't come up more.
Listen, I'll give you the tent when I move in. I'll make that part of the deal.
I don't need a tent.
Hey, total side note for the open bidding close, like you guys have that ability now in Ontario. We actually had somebody on from Final Offer, which I think is going to be the solution. Worst episode views of all time.
Worse than the one we were just on? I thought ours was all. Was ours okay? Were we happy with last week's episode? Or
yeah, what were the views on ours?
I feel like everybody got tired of us after they watched you and they didn't watch our show. Because ours was a dog.
Yeah, well, that can happen. But anyway, so we had somebody on, and it wasn't last week. It was a while back. But
no answer.
The public doesn't care.
The public doesn't care.
The public does not care about learning more about open bidding.
Buyers do care. Some buyers do care.
My daughter, she's an admin in a real estate office.
Like, listen, I just need a place to live.
She just told me last night at dinner. She said, "You know that you can make an offer in an open bidding situation and have a clause that says that your bid cannot be open, still have to let it in." No.
No,
she's wrong.
So she's wrong. Yeah, but every agent is saying that right now. So I was talking to a lawyer about it. So when you sign under seal, your offer is irrevocable. There is no clause you can put in there. That's what irrevocable means. So you have to cross out the seal on page 5. So then you can sign it and you can put in a clause. But if you don't do that, irrevocable means irrevocable.
Isn't it hilarious how everyone wants to know everybody else's offer, but I don't want my offer to be known?
Right.
Which is the reason we had closed bidding in the first place.
It's called poker. Yeah.
Some buyers are like that. And so they think that they've got a way to around it. You have to cross out the seal. Otherwise, you're signing under seal with an irrevocable time and date. That means irrevocable. It's like contract law. You can't just take it back because I put in a clause that said, you know, there's only 2 monkeys, not 3. So
does that mean that for every clause that you put in?
No, every other clause would have a condition and say, if I don't waive my condition within a certain period of time, but if it's a firm deal and you put in that clause that says, hey, if there's, you open the bids, I'm out of here. No, you're irrevocable. It says it on
clause versus condition.
Yeah, the very first thing that we're talking about on page 1.
Really?
Yeah.
So why is there the confusion about
that? That's making that, like, she didn't misunderstand. Yeah. Like, all agents are saying that right now, and they're
why?
Wrong.
Why?
It's going to be messy until it's ironed out for a while. It's going to be messy in the beginning because nobody really knows what's going on. They don't have a system to use. They don't have nobody knows the rules yet. It's going to be a disaster for a period of 1 or 2 years until a system comes in that's going to be adopted by the most amount of people, and then that will take over.
It's only relevant,
like, this
though.
Is what you do. These are the steps, you know, and people will do like webinars on it and say A to Z, how to open the bids and then how to close the bids back up and protocols. Because even Rico doesn't really know. They just give us guidance.
It's only relevant, though,
to work around, but not the practical.
Like, it only matters if there's bidding wars. Like, if the market is stable and there isn't bidding wars, then open bidding, you know, they were a little late for it, maybe. Right. Definitely, it seems like it's ramping up, but then I just get canceled if I say that. So I don't know what's really going on.
So hold on, Steve, is it ramping up or not? Like, what's going on in Surrey?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Ramping.
The answer is you are going to look like a genius if you bought a property in December. You're going to look like a genius.
What if you bought a property in November 21, like you were saying? Are you a genius if you hung on to that thing and made it through to the other end and you come out?
Depends where.
There's a few examples that I'm seeing and I'm like, you still are not okay, my friend. You need to hang on.
You gotta wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that have, that are still not going to get to their spot for many years. They're back to their purchase price. Right.
But these are people that bought further away from the center. They're not people that are in the center or even people in the center.
People don't realize, like, during West Vancouver, which is a separate city. It's funny how we have West Vancouver, North Vancouver, Vancouver. They're all
kind of like Korea or Germany.
There is differences. So in West Vancouver, during the pandemic in 2020, and I think even 2021, maybe, prices went down.
Mm-hmm.
So because the average property is like $4.5 million, people weren't speculating on $4.5 million property. So it is market dependent. It's 100% market dependent.
It's actually funny you say that, because based on my research and my research team, TK, but based on what I've read, the $4 to $8 million sector, at least in Toronto, is like the strongest, most resilient part of the market. It's like everybody over eight is getting decimated, like drops of millions of dollars. Starting to sell, though, apparently, but like that 8 to 4 million apparently has increased throughout, like, everything. Like, nothing made it go down, which is pretty crazy. I mean, there's not much sales volume in that category.
Yeah, that's the other problem, right? And then you know, like, each house, like, each sale
sways the market,
heavily weighted. Yeah. And so, like, which sales were done. So I believe that there's still strength there, but yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, they're basing it on,
say, hey, you bought in 2020 for $5 million, and now in 2024, your house must be worth more because the market in this segment's gone up. I would never do that. I would be like, let's see what's going on in the market.
Sure. And like, look at your house, maybe, because maybe your house sucks, or maybe it's fantastic.
Yeah, you overpaid, or, you know, whatever. Or there's no other houses that are worth $5 million in your neighborhood. Why did you do this?
Yeah. What the fuck were you thinking? Which TikToker did you use to
buy
this thing?
One guy built one house for $5 million, and you were like, that's a great idea to buy it. Sure. Yeah.
I think you should pay $5 million.
I want to tell you my other story here, because most people won't know this. Yeah. And it's very much in the news.
Came prepared today.
I did, because this is that was my foreclosure dread story. Now this is my developer story. So that's actually the reason I have this picture back here. Very much in the news.
Yeah.
In Surrey over the last few years. So this is all alleged. I don't know. I was not there. I was not at the table, all that stuff. But very much, very public in the news is behind me here. So this is the Wave building. This was supposed to be called the Wave 2. I don't know why it's now called Linnea.
It should be called the Wave Runner. Like, go run. Get out of that deal.
This is Evolve. Mm-hmm. And this is the most infamous building now in Surrey, which is called Ultra.
Ultra. Why is it infamous?
Every city needs a building called Ultra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it? Do you guys have?
I'm sure, like, there are lots of Ultras.
Townhouse complexes are all named Summerfield for some reason.
Just combine one season and one location and one word and you're
and
good.
A tree. Right?
Spring Hills.
So what's gone on is Ultra, we found out at some point in time, was not built to code.
Oh. In what way?
That is
which code?
Interesting story. So yes. It apparently is not built to today's seismic requirements, meaning
seismic for earthquakes
and wind sway, I believe, or whatever that is. I don't know.
Wind is a big factor on these Bad Boys.
So it's not built to today's standards, apparently, according to the news story that I read.
What year's standards did they build
right?
it
and
to?
Like the ones
it,
built
funny that the developer where? Picks that up immediately.
Yeah.
Right? That's actually, that comes into the story. Hmm. So now this is the part that is all hearsay, and this is only because I have spoken to somebody who is in the development world in this particular block, and they've been involved in the companies. So my understanding is they built Ultra. Everything went great. It's got everything from 380 square foot studios to two bed, two bath, beautiful units. It's actually a pretty cool building.
How big are the two bed, two bath? 560?
Oh, they're like 850 square feet.
Oh, they're huge. Okay.
They're like a nice place. Wow. But then they also built Evolve. Now, this is the part that is iffy, that I'm not exactly sure. The developer did one of two things. That I've heard that they tried to shop these plans to somebody else to build another tower somewhere else. But I've also heard that they were pricing out Evolve and they were going off of Ultra's budget, let's call it. And the pricing back for Evolve came back and the steel bill was like double.
Triple, yeah. Concrete,
and
they're
too. Like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
So they look into it and they find out that the engineer, whoever the architect that built or designed Ultra, built it off of the wrong building codes.
They probably bought plans off a shelf.
Like, was he like, hey, look, this is like what they do in Sweden. Why don't we try that?
So you actually have municipal building codes, you have provincial building codes, and you have federal building codes. My understanding is they used one of the older codes, or about, I want to say they're about 10 years old now. Maybe they're older than that, provincially. And then they built it to that standard. Mm-hmm. But that standard is not the standard that was acceptable to build at that time.
This all sounds like a whole bunch of horseshit
to
me.
And it sounds like any application for a permit would have caught that. And then
and
like,
a contractor and
you know
an inspector.
Yeah.
This is like
get this. Yeah, but this is how it works. This is how it works. So you get an engineer, whoever is going to design the building. I don't know. What are they called? Are they engineers? Are they architects? Whatever they are.
Design the building is an architect, and then engineer the structural stuff is an engineer.
So engineer. So the engineer builds it. Turns out he builds it. And then what the process is, you have to get a second engineer to sign off.
Mm.
And then once you get a second engineer to sign off, the city signs off.
It's a city engineer that signs off on it.
There's actually three involved, is my understanding. Again, all hearsay, alleged.
Maybe it's different out there.
The newspaper articles that are out there about Ultra, the guy that built the building, this caused his forced retirement. And
yeah,
then the I'd guy say. That okayed the plans.
Like unalived? He got suspended. Like unalived retirement or like just he retired?
No, he was
a lot forced out
was
of.
He found in his pool.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
No. He was forced out of the business.
Out of the business. Okay. Are these international businessmen or are they local?
That I don't know. I believe they're probably local.
It takes a hell of a lot of players to all be in unison for something like this to happen. Like, look how big that 100%. Thing is. Like,
but,
this stuff's
but,
at the bottom.
Then you find out that the city rubber stamping just is a city rubber stamp. Like, they didn't review the plans basically at all. Now, here's the real question, though. And this is the debate with the building. So there's lawsuits going on. There's all sorts of different stuff going on. The developer thought they were doing the right thing because they had engineers do everything. Like, everything was supposed to be correct. The real debate comes in. Let's say let's use a year. It was 2007 plans that they used or standards that they built to. Codes that they built to, and this building was built in like 2010, so they needed to use the upgraded ones. So I don't even know if those are the real numbers, but let's say that's what it is. Now, here's the debate. If the city comes in and is going to shut this building down somehow or tear it down or do different things, do they then need to go back to every building built before 2007 and do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because technically, it has a problem.
But does the building have a problem?
Sure. It's like, you know, you build a new house now and you need, you know, R40 insulation where you used to be fine with R20, and you don't make everybody re-insulate their walls because the code changed.
Yeah.
But I mean, how new is this building and what stage is it at? Is it the one built there behind you?
That one there. That's actually an old picture. It's been occupied for 6-7 years.
From an actual like development perspective, like there's no way and there's no rubber stamping anything. Okay, that doesn't exist. Nothing gets rubber stamped. I mean, I guess if you're Ford's buddy, maybe something goes through quicker than normal, but there's no way nobody's checking the plans and checking the engineering, and there's no way that an inspector doesn't go on site at some point and go, what the hell are we doing here? This is so wrong, right? There's so many layers, like the contractor. So I'd guess, if I were guessing, that either somebody said, we got to save some fucking money because these prices are fucking bananas to build stuff right now. We're going to lose everything. We have to downgrade the materials and not tell anybody, right? But again, that's still like the inspector has to like see the grade of even the concrete that's coming out of the trucks, you know? Like there's so many fall safes in place for something like this not to happen. But I mean, your question is so valid because it doesn't matter. If it was good enough back then yeah, if you're not making everybody else change, then it's fine now. It's probably more of a story than anything. But
look here's at all the these big
crazy stories.
I got the answer.
For the market, hang on, TK. For the market, yeah, though.
From Google?
Units I'll in Ultra now sell for $50,000, $100,000, sometimes $150,000 less than any of the other buildings around it because there's a problem, at least on paper, maybe in reality, but at least on paper, there's a problem. Mm. And financing is near impossible.
Impossible. Sure. That building's fucked. Like it had like a murder.
This is what happened. Okay. So in Quebec, there was a story going around that we all knew about that this guy built this big house in Quebec on a street, but he built it too close to the road. And so the big story was the city was like, no, you have to tear down your house. And this is like this modern mansion, $3 million home. And so it made the news a couple of years ago. So I was following it. And then I remember last year, the guy appealed it because they were like, you have to tear it down. So he took it to Quebec's Court of Appeal. And basically the Quebec Court of Appeal basically said, look, the city approved you to build this building. So they can't go back now and say you're not allowed to have it in the location that it is. And they overturned their demolition order and the guy was allowed to keep it, and that they won the fight. So in this instance, I mean, they didn't build the house that's going to fall down and be dangerous. Maybe there's a higher code, maybe there's a higher standard, but at the end of the day, if the city says, well, you as the condo owners have to go and invest in re-supporting the building a certain way, they would have a case and to appeal that and say, hey, no, we don't. Like, you guys were the ones who were supposed to make sure that this was built properly and you guys signed off on it, approved this drawings, rubber stamped it, quote unquote. We shouldn't have to pay for this. And to me, like in my totally non-legal opinion, that, you know, something like this in Court of Appeal would have some precedent and that they would look at and say, no, you know, city, you screwed up, you know? So
that's why I think the city has no appetite to actually really go anywhere with this. I don't know what they want to
do. So many people that should be fired because of this. It's crazy. And people should go to jail because of it. If it's the case, but do you understand how many people had to be complicit in this happening for it to actually happen?
So that's what they've done. So
if that's what happened,
it caused a guy to lose his livelihood. Yeah. He is like, so he actually has to have a license to be an engineer of some sort, some regulating body. And that was removed.
Yeah, it should be.
That's
also the guy that checked his work.
They should do that to appraisers. They should do that to appraisers.
They do it to
sakes.
Appraisers.
Take that guy. Look at what you just did last year. Take
insurance
this
that an appraiser pays, Daryl, is like a huge premium for their insurance, right? And so if they end up having to go to
errors and omissions,
get challenged, I know, but
that's the fucking just like worst insurance on earth.
The premium goes up until eventually you're uninsurable and then you can't be an appraiser anymore. So there's repercussions.
Yeah, but you got to get caught like a bunch of times by people that even know that you swindled.
Well, people who suck get caught a bunch of times. That's what happens.
I think it went more like this.
One time it should be. One time you overvalue or undervalue a property, you're gone. fuck this.
I don't think a developer would have tried to.
Unless it's on my deal and you went over, then it's okay.
Then you can.
I don't think we were cutting corners here. I think what happened is some dude, maybe he was just as old as the appraiser that I had to deal with, wrote the whole building, didn't realize he was working off of the wrong requirements. He passed it over to his buddy who was like, yeah, I guess looks pretty good. And then they passed it to the city and the city was like, I don't know, sure, approve it, get it out of here. Stamped. We need houses built, right? Yeah. No. And then they just built it.
This is like the next week of my life trying to figure out what's going on.
It's
going to
be like, hey, how come every other building we're putting however you measure steel in, however many feet or tons, but this building we're putting like half the amount, like, something
super
wrong.
Like
when they want to sell more steel, when they'd be like, listen, man.
Well, it makes me wonder if it was the developer's first high rise, right? Because if it was, then they might not know how much steel would cost.
Well, listen, guys, it wasn't there.
But the reality is
the story's got some holes in it, but I understand.
Look how big it is. Nobody's letting a rookie build that thing without somebody behind him that knows what the fuck he's doing, because nobody's lending that guy $100 million to go figure it out with their money. I promise.
But don't you guys in Toronto have like a building that's like leaning or something? Don't you guys have like one or two buildings that are downtown that are like in really bad shape?
Maybe,
nothing that
I
think needs to be changed. Maybe there's issues that come up that
there's
they
windows
fix
that fall
after
off
closing.
And
yeah, things like that. But they're all like, you know, you can fix it. Like engineering wise, no. Not that I know of.
But that doesn't mean it's not happening.
We should talk offline because I think I know a couple, but
yeah, it's totally possible. But I mean, as far as like mainstream media saying this building is dangerous, like what you're talking about, no.
I know that they have got a little litigation-y in the past, so
I got to look into this thing now forever because I got to know what's going on in this building because this is crazy. This sounds like a bunch of crazy.
It sounds like
at
they
least
don't
from
know
my
what
perspective.
They're doing in BC and that they need to take a page out of the Ontario Developers Book because we know what we're going.
No, we're doing.
We're building houses. We're building condos.
They, you know,
it's a lot of the same guys.
They built it to the Toronto codes, and then they realized
maybe that's
that
the problem.
Maybe that's the problem. Right. We don't have earthquakes. That's why Toronto is the greatest place on earth.
We don't have earthquakes either. We just scare people into thinking that they're going to happen, like the real estate market crash.
You got mountains though. People think maybe they're volcanoes. Maybe they are volcanoes.
There is a volcano. Not that way. The other way.
Over
Mount
here,
Baker.
Somewhere.
Is this one?
I think this one looks like a volcano to me.
This one's a volcano for sure.
Look at all the people underneath that are going to get creamed.
They better be like super careful. Just look out for smoke.
Have you seen what's going on in
the high ground?
Is it the North Pole? Where is it? There's like a volcano somewhere, like Iceland. Iceland. Have you seen that? Like the ground is opening up on people's houses. This is like in rural areas. The ground is lava all of a sudden.
I know, but it's Iceland. Like, you know,
the whole island.
That's the whole fuck up.
Yeah.
Iceland's not supposed to burn. Iceland isn't supposed to burn. Did you see?
It's just one big hump of
Saudi Arabia is green.
Solidified lava.
And Iceland is red. What is going on? What's the weather like over there now? Right here, it is so cold.
We just had 16 inches of snow and it was crazy. We came out of minus 15. Also, so the coldest snap that we've had apparently since 1935 here in Vancouver over the last week. And I went out one day in minus 10 degrees and screw moving to Calgary. That is terrible. I will take rain and 5 degrees in July anytime over minus 15 degrees or minus, like I couldn't imagine Calgary's double as cold as it was
minus
here last
15
week.
Today.
Yeah. So like
expect the highs to be around the minus 15.
After feeling
there,
that, all those people that moved from Vancouver to Calgary last year, they're all coming back. That was
like,
terrible.
There's our predictions.
Can you imagine being like a new immigrant or a homeless person that lived in Vancouver or Toronto that decided, you know what, it's too expensive here. I'm going to Calgary.
Yeah.
What a shock. Like, it's not bad enough you're a foreign student in Toronto getting beaten and taken advantage of. Now it's minus 80.
Yeah, what's it like to move from New Delhi to minus 50 degrees in Edmonton?
Right? Like, can you imagine? I mean, it's
we
were
talking
about
people are doing it, but
they should
be
used to
complaining about it online somewhere. The Indian Reddit.
Living conditions.
Yeah. Steve, I like your hat. Thank you for joining us at 5 o'clock in the
great
morning, your time.
All around.
We appreciate you always supporting us every week, watching the show, commenting.
Inviting us
2024 on. 2024 is amazing for you and the team. It sounds like this will be your best January ever, and I hope 2024 is the best year ever. And if anybody's looking for real estate in Surrey, BC, we got a guy.
And thank you so much for not putting your podcast on at the same time as ours and burying us completely. We really appreciate that. It's fun.
Yeah.
Right? It's
We're fun. Doing what we got to do.
I love it.
Steve?
You guys are crushing us. Don't worry. You guys are doing fantastic. It's
you guys
We're
have
all doing good.
Two
We're
pipelines
okay.
feeding a beast,
We're
baby.
All okay.
But
We're
if
all...
anybody is coming, we got a big one coming. So if anybody is still
one?
Listening
is it
to this, we
is
got
it
a,
booked?
We, it is. I have a recording date. It's,
you teased
oh,
us.
Booked.
Good for you.
Way it's better guest up. Than we're getting, Steve.
We are way not... better guest than your guest right now. That's for sure.
You know, it's funny. Let's the one last thing, TK. I know you. We all have to go. Actually, I got to go get an MRI. So I got to really boogie. But Steve put out a poll last week to see, you know, what combination of hosts the people want to see. And they voted me and Steve. But the funny thing is, Steve. Like we did it once and nobody watched it.
Nobody watched it.
Nobody watched it.
We should do that again. Maybe I should have you. Let's do a live on my channel. Maybe.
Sure.
Do a live. We can talk like.
There you go.
Development and or subdivision. Let's talk.
Yeah,
subdivision.
Let's do that.
Everybody
I'm gonna
to do that.
I'm gonna
give the people
figure
what
out
want.
What happened over there.
I think most people voted who's Daryl and TK. Actually, I saw the poll.
That was but, it.
Yeah.
I was confused.
I voted that. So
me too.
You know, I might have contributed to the numbers.
Awesome guys.
Thank
awesome,
you, Steve.
Pleasure.
Thanks for doing the skit. Side. Everybody, if you're still listening, right, TK, we want them to press that button, the red one.
No. They had their chance. TK's
done.
The beginning of the show.
All right. You missed.
See you next week.
The button's off. Have a nice day.